Good morning. How is everybody doing today? Pastor Paul was saying right there about God leading us. And if you don't come expecting to hear from God, you're in the wrong place. Whether it's me or Pastor Paul or whoever is bringing the word. And if that person is not praying like I do and pray that the Holy Spirit will bring it to you, then shame on them. Because it's coming from the Holy Spirit, and I'm so blessed because I was just telling my wife, everybody knows that I hurt constantly. I got back problems. I had to have another MRI done next Saturday. And I think the doctor's going to pull me off the road. But my back is so bad. And I hurt 24-7 until I come up here. And when I come up here and I preach in God's word, there's no pain. Isn't that awesome? That is awesome. God is just so fantastic. He said, you do what I want you to do, and I'll take care of everything else. Now, you focus on yourself, the pain's going to be there. Open your Bibles, if you could, please, to Acts chapter 8. I intentionally didn't give Mark the Bible verses because I want us to open up his word ourselves. I want us to get into his word, see what he says. Because when you read it for yourself and you find that book in the Bible, it kind of sticks in your memory. So again, Acts chapter 8. We're going to start at verse 26, okay? Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise and go towards the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. So he arose and he went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship. He was returning, and sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophets Isaiah, and he said, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? He asked Philip to come up and sit with him. The place in the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shear is silent. So he opened not his mouth, and in his humiliation his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation, for his life is taken from the earth? So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and, beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now, as they went down to the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, so here's water. What hinders me from being baptized? Then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away. So the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Does that touch your heart? What we read there, what's that say to you? I mean, what stands out? Taking the time to talk about God. There's one word for it. What do we call it? Evangelism, right? Anybody know what evangelism means? Evangelism is a Greek word. I looked it up, and it's got two parts. It's actually two words in one. Some say that EU is pronounce you. Some say the EU is pronounced Eve, like we pronounced our Eve. It means good, okay? Now, evangelism, Eve means good, angelelum means message. That's where we get our word angel or the messenger, okay? So it means what? Good message. That's what it means. What here he's talking about, the good message. Look at, let's go back real quick and look at chapter 1 of Acts. Chapter 1, let's go back to number 1. Look at verse 8. We learned that Philip was called by an angel to go and preach to the eunuch, to go and bring the message, and he did. Look at chapter 1 of Acts, verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, and to all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Who was he talking to? Who was talking here? Who was talking there? If your Bible has red letters, you should know who was talking. Who was talking there? Jesus. Who was he talking to? His disciples, right? Who are Jesus' disciples? Raise your hand if you're his disciple. So he's talking to you. He said, again, check this out. When the Spirit has come upon you, when the Spirit has come upon you, when you become saved, people sit and wait. Okay, I'm waiting for this feeling. I'm waiting to know if I'm saved. The Bible says, we'll go over here for a second. The Bible says you're saved by faith. So when you become a Christian, you become born again. Does the Spirit of God come upon you? It does. Now what? Now it says, you shall be a witness to me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the end of the earth. When Acts chapter 8, when you read that, what Philip did, when that occurred, there was a lot going on. The apostles, the disciples weren't moving. They weren't getting out there and doing what God called them to do. And it, for two reasons. They were reluctant to leave. And first of all, I couldn't understand because I'm like, well, they have no church. There's no building. They're not accepted where they're at. Because remember, it wasn't very long ago that Jesus was crucified. It wasn't accepted where they're at. So why didn't they do what Jesus told them and go out and bring the word to God? But one man did. Philip did that. Philip listened, went out and said, here I am. Here's what I'm going to do. Now, to the preach to the Jews was one thing. Remember, there's the same Jews that yelled, crucify him. Now, you want those same disciples to preach to those Jews. That's one thing. I'm thinking, okay, what would have stopped him? So that's one. How about number two? How about the Samaritans? Were the Jews and the Samaritans good friends? Not at all. Think about it. When slavery was at its peak here in the United States, what would have happened if one white man went to a bunch of black people and started preaching? How would he have been looked upon? Would he have been even listened by the black? So, I mean, it's kind of like the same thing. You understand what I'm saying? The Jews were asked to go to the Samaritans. That's like, we were talking in Sunday school today. That's like us being asked to go to Iran right now and preach to them who hate us, want to destroy us, want to kill us, want nothing to do with us. There's still a pastor, I think Saeed, I think he's still being in prison, if my memory serves me right, just because he was preaching about God. Now God's telling you to do the same thing. So the apostles had to, they kind of felt like they had their hands tied until Philip did what he did. Right? Philip said, I will do exactly what you call me to do. We had one man that decided to be obedient, one man that decided to love one another, one man that decided that I'm going to take what I know and preach it and bring it to somebody else. One man did that. Because of that one man, we're going to learn here pretty soon that it just struck like wildfire. When the apostles had heard this, they're like, wait a minute here, what's going on? Time out. What's going on? The word got back to them. Now, back then, when word gets back, it's spreading. It's spreading fast. Some guy there up in Samaria, he's preaching about Jesus Christ. They're like, one, two, three. Who is it? Then they found out it was Philip. They said, check this out. They said, I'm going to send John and Peter down there to find out what's going on. We need to know what's going on. We need to know right now, what's up, This is the same John that shortly before that, he wanted to have fire come down from heaven and just destroy the Samaritans that were not receiving the good news. God says, you know what, John, go on down there. Check this out. You and Peter, send two at a time. Go down there and check this out. And they did. And as soon as they checked it out and found out what was going on, it was just boom, spreading. Now Peter and John are asking for the Holy Spirit to come upon those same people that he wanted fire to come from heaven upon. You see what I'm saying? be one man said, this is what I'm going to do. There's 86 verses in this Bible that talk about evangelism, evangelizing. When something's so important to you and it means a lot, you want to spread it, don't you? How about your kids? Those two little babies right there. She wants to spread it around. She wants to know, my baby did this today. My son did this today. My daughter did this. You want to spread it, don't you? You want everybody to know. Jesus said the same thing. Turn your Bibles to Mark 16, chapter 15 through 18. Mark 16. Mark 16, 15 through 18. You ready? If I can get to the page here. Again, this is red letters. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. Inky, we talked about this today in Sunday school. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will not by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Do you see what he's saying? You've got so much power. The church today is doing very little. Actually, it's even doing less than little. The church attendance is going down and down and down. It shouldn't be that way. You realize the power, once you become saved, what the power you've got in you, as long as you're willing. The hint here, it says you can go up to someone that's sick. And God can use you to heal. Use you to cast out a demon. I keep thinking, I said, man, I mean, the power he gave us, he must have a lot of faith in us. And yet, what do? We don't do anything with it. It's like going to school and getting your degree, and going home, watching TV. We're here at church to learn about God's word. We're here at the church to learn how to praise him, to worship him. But coming here to church does not get us to heaven. Now, if you're saved, we should want Coshocton, Ohio to be saved. Wouldn't it be awesome to come in next Sunday and every seat is full? Then we have 20 or 30 baptisms. Sorry, next Sunday we get a whole Sunday to be baptisms. All because one or two or three or four decide, I'm going to take what I know and I'm going to evangelize. The good news, I'm going to share it. It kind of broke my heart. I heard that. Well, first, my heart swelled when I heard at Vacation Bible School last week there was a huge attendance, and a lot of people are going to, in this church, and I have to applaud you, are going to be there to help with the Vacation Bible School, but they still need more. But it broke my heart when I found out only five people showed up last night to pass out flyers for Vacation Bible School. When history shows that 80% of those born again will come before the age of 18. 80%. So shouldn't we focus on the ones that want to learn? The ones that have that mind is like a sponge where they just grab and grab and grab, right? So we should all be here for Vacation Bible School. We should all be passing out flyers. We should be trying to reach our neighbors' friends, our nieces, our uncles. When everybody leaves here, they should have a handful of those flyers. I'm sure Katie can burn many more copies. But we should have that. We should be able to reach those. And imagine how you're going to feel when you feel like, I was Philip. God told me to go evangelize, and I did. And I'm telling you, I'm not bragging. I just want you to know what the Holy Spirit will do. When you listen to him and someone comes to Christ, you will cry. Because you know who it was me. Of all people in this whole world, he used me. You know what I'm saying? It's such an amazing feeling because God says it's more blessed to give. Now, we're talking about giving the good news. So how are you blessed knowing that sister or that brother or that neighbor is going to come to Christ? History also says that 2% of you guys today will leave here and do what you're hearing. 2%. He put it in my back pocket or I'm on my hip, so it's his fault. Anyway, 2% of you all will take the news. So what's the other 98% going to do? I say to Hades with history, I say, let's have 100%. take what you're going to hear today. 100%. You're all going to say this. You're all going to say, yeah, you're right. You're exactly right. I'm going to do this. But even Jesus says, many serve me with their mouth. I say, show me. When they have Vacation Bible School next week, there should be 100, 150 kids here or more. Well, Pastor Paul's got to start calling people. Hello, we need more teachers. Come here. SOS. We should be pulling in the children, pulling in the teenagers, pulling in your neighbors. And the feeling that you're going to have knowing that Jesus Christ used me, and it won't stop. It's going to be a wildfire. Think about it. You bring 50 people in this church, do you think those 50 people may bring somebody else? Or they may bring somebody else? I can look at probably 8 or 10 people here in this church today that I never thought would ever come to church. But because God brought somebody in your life, you're here because of that. Somebody evangelized to you, right? What happens if they hadn't evangelized to you? What happens to Steve that you and I would have never met? What, you understand? What happens if that pastor, and I have to tip my hat, I told Tony and Dink, if it wasn't for his mom and dad, I wouldn't be here today. They took the time to evangelize to me. You see what I'm saying? There's another man in his church that tried to read his history. I had one of those very long weeks. You ever have these long weeks where everything just hits you? And usually, when I read the word, it stays. When I read something else, it just goes, whoop. There's a man in his church that's probably reached thousands. And those people have probably reached thousands. It's because of his dedication. And his life, when I read about his life growing up, I'm like, how did you do it? How did you do it? Especially with today's society, it's all video games and TV. This man had a hard life, and he fought through it. Did God call him to evangelize? Yeah. Did he listen? I read in there a couple times. He didn't listen. But God got his attention. God brought 2 people to the hospital to evangelize to him. Even then, he didn't listen. Even then, he didn't listen. First wife gone. Didn't listen. God brought another wife. He invited her to church. He invited her to his church. She said, nope. He said, you like my church? He said, nope. Next Sunday, we're going to go to mine. We're going to go to the Baptist church. Woo, Baptist, right? To this day, that person is your pastor. You know how many people he's witnessed to and he's evangelized? How many times I've talked to him and his heart just swells when someone comes to Christ or someone gets baptized? But then to hear in his voice, too, sometimes when he tries to preach and the Holy Spirit's reaching through him to preach, and it's not heard. It just goes way over here. You know what I'm saying? I think we should make the devil work for all the people going to hell. Make him work. Like Charles Spurgeon said, if people are going to go to hell, let them go to hell with our arms wrapped around their waist. If you've seen a blind man walking, getting ready to walk over the edge of a cliff, would you stop him? Would you stop him, Melanie? If you were walking down the street and the house was on fire, Jeff, would you try to break in that house and save the people within there? If you saw a guy was going to try to run in there to save his cat, would you stop him from running in that fire to save his cat? You would do it. But yet, we're trying to save the human body. But what are we doing for the soul? We ain't doing nothing, guys. And I'm sorry to say, I'm at the top of the list. We've got to evangelize. We've got to evangelize. We got to go out there and we got to show people the way. Speaking of the way, I read a story about Billy Graham. He said he was in South Carolina. He was evangelizing. And he had a revival. And just before the revival, he had to mail a letter. And he was driving down the street and he seen this little boy. And he's like, hey, come here, young man. He said, I'm looking for the post office. I can't find it. Will you show me where it's at? The little boy says, yeah, right around the corner. Make the first left and you're there. He said, oh, great. He said, hey, I'm gonna evangelize here later on tonight, and I'm going to tell people how to get to heaven. He said, would you like to come? The little boy thought about it for a minute, and he said, no. He said, because you don't even know how to get to the post office. when you start evangelizing, I'm telling you what's going to happen, and I want you to remember this. When the Holy Spirit puts in your mind to evangelize, to go tell somebody about Jesus Christ, and all of a sudden you have this fear in you, it's not from God. Fear is not from God. Are we to have a reverent fear for Him? Absolutely.
I think that's lacking too. A lot of us don't care about sinning, but anyway. When you have the fear comes over you, you know instantly it's the devil. Now you know you're on track. People think it's easy for me to come up here and speak, and it is. But I'll tell you what, if you see me, you'll see me praying for the first minute or two before I come up here. Because even butterflies get in my stomach because the devil's saying, I don't want you to do that. Don't do that. I'd say it to the Hades with the devil, right? You see what I'm saying? When the fear of God comes over you, the first thing you should say is, thank you, Lord. I'm going to keep going forward. This is confirmation that this is what you want me to do. Okay? Before I came to church, I brought out what I call icebreakers. Some people call them gospel tracts, and they're outside this church hall. If there's still some of you that are afraid to talk about Jesus Christ, and I'm going to go in here in detail how you do it. If some of you are still afraid, because there's people out there, I went to a speech class. You believe I got an A in it? But there was two or three people outside the class before it started, and they were getting sick because they just couldn't speak. They could not get in front of somebody and talk. If there's people like that here today, when you go out there, you go see the gospel tracts and ask me. I should have had 1,000 of them, and it's a blessing from God because I called. God gave me his telephone number. I called up, and I said, I need some gospel tracts to give to my church. And I said, I don't have a whole lot of money, and neither does the church. It's okay. I'll send you 1,000 of them. They're on their way. I was hoping they would have been here today. They'll probably get here tomorrow, but I'll bring them here next Sunday. There's some out there, and if you are afraid, pass these gospel tracts out. Say, hey, if you get a chance, please read this. Do like I do. I pass them out at truck stops. I put them in the bathrooms. People, when you're sitting on the bathroom, what's the first thing you want to do?
That ain't what you want to do. Anyway, you want to read something, right? So there's a gospel tract right there to read. Anyway, let me try this again. Can you hear me? Anyway, if you have a hard time speaking about Jesus Christ, pass out those gospel tracts. Pass them out to your neighbor, to your friends, to your coworkers. Say, hey, there's no pressure. I'm not asking you to go to my church. I'm asking you for money. There's nothing in it for me. Just please read this. And for those who aren't afraid, here's the steps I want you to take, okay, from today forward. First of all, I want you to go home tonight. I want you to write out your testimony. Pastor Paul and I have talked about this before, and we've even had where he passed out testimony pages. You just fill in the answer. You can go online and get free testimony and download it and fill in the answer. That ain't what I suggest. I suggest you go home tonight and you write out a 20-minute testimony. And then, when it's all done, you condense it to 3 minutes. All right, I'll tell you why. 20-minute survey. I want you to write down your life before you came to Jesus Christ. Write it down. Nobody knows it but you. Then write down your life, or write down that person that brought you to Jesus Christ. Write down how it happened. Write down how you felt. Write down the feeling that came over you when you became saved. And then the third part, I want you to write down your life now after you're saved. Do it in like a 20 minutes. Do it so where you can speak to somebody in 20 minutes. And then I want you to also condense it down to 3 minutes. For this simple fact is, most people won't want to stand there for 20 minutes and listen to you say this. But now you have a 3-minute testimony. And if they do want to hear you, make it 20 minutes. Explain to them how Jesus Christ, they want to hear you. They don't want to, oh yeah, the Bible's full of a bunch of stories. I want to hear you. How did Jesus Christ affect you? How did you get saved? They want to know that. Write it down. In your bulletins, there's a prayer list. I want you all to get it out real quick. I want you to turn that prayer list over, and I want you to write down these verses I want to give you. These are key verses to salvation. I want you to write them down, and I want you to go home and memorize them. You should already have them memorized. But if you don't, please write these down, memorize these scriptures. Until you get them memorized, put them in your Bible. Carry a Bible in your car. You never know when you're a witness to somebody, and they want to see what you're talking about in the Bible. You ready? First one, Romans 3:23. What's it say? For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. You ready? Next one. Romans 5:1. Therefore, having faith, being justified. That's what they're going to ask you. How do you know you're saved? Look at the Romans 5:1. Therefore, having been justified by faith. They're going to ask you, how do you know? I just know. I can't. The Bible says it straight out. I just know I'm saved. I feel it. Jesus says you believe on it, you're saved. Next one, Romans 6:23.
Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. What's death? What's he talking about, death? Separation from God. We all going to die. He ain't talking about a physical death. He's talking about a spiritual death. The worst thing about being in hell is not the fire. The worst thing about being in hell is not the darkness. It's not the torture. It's the separation from God, knowing you will never, ever again be able to get close to God. Ever. Next one, Romans 8:1. There is therefore no condemnation. Romans 8:1. And I memorized this, but again, in my head, to those that are in Christ Jesus. There's no condemnation. They're going to say, well, you ain't no better than I am. You ain't no better than I am. Who are you to tell me you're no better than I am? You know what I tell them? You're exactly right. I ain't no better than you are. The only difference between you and me is forgiveness. I'm sorry to say it is forgiveness. You can continue to live your life. And when you stand before God, He's going to see what you're doing. He's going to see your life. The Bible says He's going to judge you for as you are. If Jesus Christ is not in you, He's going to see for what you are, a filthy rag to be discarded into the fire. But I have Jesus Christ in me so that I can come to God and say, I'm sorry. And He will forgive me. Next one, Romans 10:9 through 12. If you confess with your mouth, Romans 10:9 through 12. Write it down. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It's as easy as that. I mean, there's many more verses, but these are the key verses that I want you guys to write down. I want you to carry your Bible with you everywhere you go, and I want you to memorize those. Okay? Third step of witnessing, I want you to pray. Pray before you witness. Do like I do sometimes. I'll pray while I'm talking to the people, because they'll ask me a question. I'm thinking, God, please help me. Please don't let me screw this up. You speak through me. Please help me, God. I don't need to answer this question. Pray before you go. Pray while you, even while you're there. And then pray after you leave. The reason I say pray after you leave is, God, please don't allow Satan to snatch him back. Please. I pray that I've watered a seed. I've planted a seed. I've been your servant. I pray that you'll look over this person and bring him to you. Should that be the end of it? No. Go back. Ask them, do you got any questions? Is there anything I can do for you? Show them that you really care, okay? Number four, I want you to be the best listener you've ever been. I'm telling you guys, that's my weakness. Because while you're talking, I'm thinking something else to say to you. Honestly, that's my weakness. Pray for me, please, that I want to be the listener. People know if you're real or fake. Truthfully, come on, have you ever talked to people? Have someone ever talked to you like, oh, no, she ain't like that. I know how she really is. People know if you're real, if you're fake. Listen to what they're saying. They may be telling you, you know what? My wife left me and having a hard time and money just ain't the same. And I really want to come to Christ. I want to have a better life. But why is God allowing this to happen to me? Listen to what they said. They just said their wife just left them. They're having money problems. You might not be able to help them all, but you can listen. I had a guy that God used me to witness to at the fairgrounds. And he called me up not too long ago, and he said, you know what? I'm now a Christian because you listened. And you know what he said? I smoke pot. I enjoy my life. He and I went to school together. We never seen eye to eye. He said, I enjoy what I do. I ain't going to change what I do. Thank you, but no thank you. He called me up, and now he's going to the church on 7th Street. I did ask him to come here. And he said, thank you because you listened. Number five. Take a few minutes and get to know the person you're talking to. How many times have you ever gone to someone's house, Pastor Paul? You look around their house. If I see pictures on the wall of the kids playing sports, I see pictures on the wall of the best team in the world, Cleveland Browns. Is that true? That's true, Aunt Tony. Get to know the person. When you're listening to them, get a feel of the person you're talking to. Get to know the person. Why do you want to do that? If I'm coming in Steve's house, I'm talking about Jesus Christ, and I want to reach him, don't I want to kind of a firm ground, trying to get a common thing that you and I have in common so you and I can talk about? You have grandchildren? You do. I have grandchildren. Cha-ching. I'll tell you what, you talk about a grandchild to a man, his heart is going to go up, his smile is going to go up, his eyes are going to get real big. Talk to somebody about a grandchild. Talk to them about their children. You connect with that person, they're going to hear what you have to say. They may not even agree with what you had to say, but give you a chance to come back a second time. Number six, if they are receptive about talking about God in heaven, do what I do. Ask them straight out. I hear many ways from many people about how to get to heaven. How do you think you get to heaven? I'm curious to hear what you think or what you believe. Let them tell you. I guarantee you 90% of the time people are going to say, I'm a good person. I'm going to get to heaven because I'm a good person. Now, why would they say that I'm a good person? Turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 21, verse 2. Proverbs, about right in the middle of the Bible, right after Psalms. Proverbs 21, 2. Everybody there? Proverbs 21, 2. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the heart. Turn to Ephesians 2, chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Towards the end. Galatians, Ephesians, chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, 8 through 9. Everybody with me? For by grace you have been saved. What's grace? Undeserved favor. There's nothing in the world you have ever done or will ever do that will get you into heaven. So by saying, I'm a good person, it will not get you to heaven. There's a lot of good people in hell today. For by grace you have been saved through faith. There we go again. Through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. It's not what you do. So when they say they're a good person, show them these two verses. They're a good person because they're comparing their life to other people. I haven't murdered anybody. I haven't stolen, I'm a good person. I sin every now and then, but I'm still a good person. Ask them, say, remember this, law to the proud, grace to the humble. When they say they're a good person, they're going to get to heaven. Say, do you mind if I ask you a question? Ask them, say, do you mind? See, look in Exodus chapter 20. Say, have you ever lied? You ever lied to anybody at all, ever? I don't know about you, but I think every one of us has lied, right? And they go, say, yeah. Ask them, say, how many times do you have to lie to be a liar? How many times? How many times do you lie to be a liar? Once. Ask them, have you ever taken anything that wasn't yours? Anything at all? Have you ever maybe worked 15 minutes over or worked 8 hours or 45 minutes, got paid for 9 hours? You ever took something that wasn't yours? Now, how many times are you going to take something to be a thief? One time. How about this one? This used to get me all the time. I'm sure it hits a lot of guys here in the church. Jesus said, you know the laws of old, do not commit adultery. But I say, if you look at another with lust in your heart, you've already committed adultery in your mind. How many of you have committed adultery? Now, say, okay, think about it. We've only went over 3 out of the Ten Commandments. Now, when you stand before God, and Hebrews 9:27 says, it's appointed unto men to once die, and then the judgment. When you stand before God, and you will stand before God, the instant you die, you will stand and be judged for every word, thought, that's ever occurred in your head, everything. Now, when that happens, and you just told me that you're a liar, a thief, right? You've committed adultery. When that happens, are you going to be guilty or innocent? I'm telling you, 99% of people are going to be saying, I'm going to be guilty. So, okay, now, would you go to heaven or hell? You see, that's the law. That's not me. I've had many people tell me, you know what? You're pushing people away. When you're in your kitchen, and that kitchen looks real nice, and the table looks nice, and the sun is kind of shining through the curtains, and everything looks great. The kitchen looks clean, doesn't it? Now, take that curtain and pull back that curtain. Let the sun shine in. S-O-N. Now, the kitchen's not so clean, is it? You got dust in the air and mites on the floor, and it's not so clean, is it? You see, when the sun shines on you, you're not as good as you think you are. You see what I'm saying? Now, don't ever go up to somebody and say, just believe in Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. The Bible says if you just believe and you confess, you'll be saved. Do it. Don't ever give the cure without showing them the symptoms. Ever. Let them see. I just showed you the three symptoms. I can't go up to you and say, hey, Preston, drink this. You get this bad disease. Hurry up, drink it. Hurry up, hurry up. It's going to save your life. He's going to say, what are you talking about? You're crazy. I ain't drinking that. But if you say, you know what? Your face is flush. I see you're sweating. Your pupils are dilated. Your skin looks tacky. You look pale. Buddy, you've got to drink this. I just want you to know you've got this disease. And he's going to say, you know what? You're right. Give it to me. Too many of us go up and say, hey, just say this prayer. I haven't read anywhere in the Bible that says, just say this prayer and you're saved. But I do read that when you say, you know what? You're right. I'm a sinner. There's step one. Now you say, now let me tell you what Jesus Christ did so you will not have to go to hell. When you do that, when you preach the true gospel or you evangelize the true gospel, it's going to do one of two things. It's going to reach into the heart, or it's going to harden the heart. Now, if it hardens the heart, did you do something wrong? My Bible says that most people will go to hell. You're just there to evangelize. You ain't there to convert nobody. That was my problem early on. I'd walk out to my car and almost be in tears. I said, what am I doing wrong? It's not us. All you got to do is evangelize. All you got to do is bring him the word. That's it. We never need to shut up ever when it comes to evangelizing. Ever. There was this pastor. I'm going to tell you a joke here real quick. There was this pastor that was applying for the job to be a pastor of this church. He just moved into town and he saw that there was an opening and he went and applied. And the old pastor that was going out, he said, you know what? Let me hear you preach. You come next Sunday, I want to hear you preach, and then me and the church body will vote if we think you should be our pastor. So he did. He came the following Sunday. He preached a 10-minute sermon. 10 minutes. After the church was over, they're like, yep, you're a pastor. You're a pastor. 10 minutes. The next Sunday, the new pastor came to church and he started preaching. He preached 20 minutes. Like, yeah, that's pretty good. You know, 20 minutes. I get to go home. You'll get to eat lunch early. That's cool. The third Sunday he came back, he preached 2.5 hours. So, of course, after church, you know, the deacon and pastor got with him. He's like, hey, you know, we love the word. You know, that 10 minutes was cool. 20 minutes, yeah. That 2.5 hours? What happened? He said, well, I just got new dentures. He said, the first night I came and did the interview and you had me come and preach, it was the first day I put my dentures in. He said, they were making my mouth sore. That's why I preached 10 minutes. He said, now the second time, I had them for a week, they were getting used to it. I gave you a 20-minute sermon. He said, that third week, he said, I put the wrong dentures in. I put my wife's dentures in. A friend of mine told me last week, you said, or she said, she just came to Christ. She was supposed to be here today, and I hope to introduce you to her next week. She just came to Christ, and I never thought in the world she would ever come to Christ. Now, she said, I'm going to do whatever it takes right now to evangelize to my daughter. Until however time God gives me, I'll never stop evangelizing to my daughter because I want her to go to heaven. That's how we should be. We should never, ever stop evangelizing, ever. If you don't witness, you're making spiritually dead people comfortable before they go to hell. Think about that. If you don't witness, you're making spiritually dead people comfortable before they go to hell. It's kind of like a hospice. Is that who it is? They do the best they can to make people comfortable before they die. So you're in hospice. You're either evangelism or you're in hospice. We got to evangelize. Two more things, I'll let you go. David McGee said that we need to be more focused on reaching the lost than pampering the saved. When I read that, I'm like, that is so awesome. We need to be more focused on reaching the lost than pampering the saved. Most churches today pamper the saved. They do. Charles Spurgeon said, have you no wish for others to be saved? Then you are not saved yourself. You can be sure of that. If you have no wish for people to be saved, I have to question where your heart is. Because when you're saved and Jesus Christ is in you, you have a heart for other people. Amen? You have the heart. You love people. You want to help them. Your whole life and heart is changed. And you don't want to see nobody go to hell. Larry Osborne says that life is too short and hell is too hot for us to continually to play church. Life is too short and hell is too hot for us to continue to be playing church. When I was asked to preach today, I instantly came to God. And in my head, I said, "Do you want me to?" And he said, "Preach it." And that was my confirmation. If you look at your cartoon in your bulletin today, it's about witnessing, ain't it? I don't know who makes the bulletin. I don't know who makes it. I never said nothing about put a cartoon about witnessing in the bulletin. If God didn't want you to hear this today, I wouldn't be up here. Okay? We need to get up and go witness. There's gospel tracts out there for those people that have a hard time speaking. And I just give you all the steps you need to know. Call me up. I'd be happy to go with you. If you got somebody that you know wants to be talked to, go with somebody that knows how to go. That's why you heard when Jesus sent Peter and John out together. Go with somebody that knows and learn from them. Would you please stand? This altar is up here for several reasons. First and foremost, I'm a witness to you today if you're lost. There's only one way. I was told by Pastor, there's two ways to heaven. He said the first way is you could be born without sin, sinless, and die without sin to go to heaven. We know that's impossible. So the only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ. And if you don't know who Jesus is today, then this altar is here. The first step is just getting out of the aisle and making that first step. Say, I don't care what people think about me. I don't care what I look like. I want Jesus Christ. I don't want my old life no more. If you don't know who Jesus Christ is, the altar is here. If you want to come up, if you want to pray about, you want me to pray with you, or you got something on your mind, you want to talk to God, come up here. I encourage you all to do that. We got a song, Mark? And you don't have to wait for the music. You come up here anytime you want. Just lay your heart to God. Ask Him to help you evangelize. He'll do it. Once you start talking, believe me, the Holy Spirit is just going to keep going and going and going. So. after church, visit me after church. Out there, you heard Katie say about the Vacation Bible School. Please, I encourage each and every one of you to grab one, two, or whatever, a whole handful of those and pass them out. We need to reach the children. We need to reach those that want to hear, those that have a heart, okay? Well, I guess they have enough teachers, but they're also looking for volunteers from Vacation Bible School.